I want you to get your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Mark 14. Mark 14. On Monday night, with the exception of Sunday, I kind of put a little pattern together. On Monday night, I told us to be mindful of the secret that's in our heart that God put there so we could honor that in our life and do something for the Lord. The Bible says in the last days that the church will do great exploits. I hope we're not done with that yet. I hope, even though it does feel like the end of the age of grace, I still believe the church is alive and well, and we can still do something great for Christ until He comes. If He came tonight, it'd be just fine, though, wouldn't it? Be just fine. And then last night, I talked about listening for that sound, as it were, the Holy Spirit, and gave the example of the mulberry tree, the sound of the mulberry tree. And tonight, I want us to talk about following the Savior. And so we have the sound in your of the secret in your heart, the sound of the Spirit, and then tonight, following the Savior. Would you please stand with me to Mark 14, please? Mark chapter 14. Here's a small passage. It's mentioned in the other Gospels, but I'm going to preach from this Gospel, Mark 14, and I'll begin reading in verse number 12. If you're happy you're here tonight, would you say amen?
Amen.
Good to be here tonight. Good to have a good old King James Bible in our hand, right? It's wonderful. God has preserved it, and the fact that we can hold it in our hand is just a wonderful and rare blessing. The Bible said in Mark 14, 12, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, His disciples said unto Him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare for thou mayest eat the Passover? And He sendeth forth two disciples." And you don't have to turn there, but in the book of Luke, the Bible says in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 8, it mentions who it is. And it was Peter and it was John who these two disciples of the Lord sent, the Bible said. And so He sent these two disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and there you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water." What's the next two words? Follow him. Now, those are just, you know, every word God puts in the Bible is for emphasis. I mean, we could preach from every word in the Bible, but these words that He gave just now was very historical words. He told him to follow a man with a pitcher. And I think you'll see why in just a minute. "And wheresoever he shall go, go in and say to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where the Bible said, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And the Bible said, He will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared, make ready for us. And His disciples went forth and came into the city, found as He had said unto them, and made ready the Passover." Go back up to those two words in verse 13, the last two words, follow Him. I've entitled this message, it's not a play on words, it's actually true. I've entitled this message tonight, follow that man. Follow that man. You know, when somebody's a fugitive, one of the things that the policemen say is, follow that man. Follow that man. Well, this is not that play of words, but it's an actual statement that God commanded His disciples to follow a man. They didn't know why, other than they wanted to get the Passover ready, the Passover meal. And He said, follow that man with that water, that pitcher of water. Just follow him, and he'll take you where you need to go. Well, you know, sometimes the Lord's commands and requests are a little bit different, but we just need to do what He tells us anyway and follow Him anyway. So I'm going to talk about following those that follow Jesus tonight. Isn't it wonderful to have people who lead you and people that admonish you to do the right thing? Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for encouragement in the Lord? Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for folks who led us the right direction? And the day we think we don't need that kind of help, we're going to be in some serious trouble. We need people to help us along the way. That's why I think Sunday school is so good, because we rightly divide the word of truth and know the doctrines through Sunday school. Don't eliminate that in your life. Don't cut short church. Whenever you get a chance, like you're doing now, take all the time you can to saturate yourself in the inspiration of God's Word and the message of God's Word. So I want to preach on that those three words tonight. Follow that man. Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, I pray You'd use now this time. Lord, I pray You'd use the simple thoughts of this message. May it apply to all of us in this room. May we all be encouraged because of it. And then, Lord, I just pray you'd help our country right now during this time of such confusion. And, Lord, things are out of balance. Things are off center, off keel. Lord, from politics to the pulpit, Lord, I just pray that you'd just bring us back to our senses again. And, Lord, help us and heal our nation in more ways than one, especially with this virus. And then, Lord, heal our nation religiously, Lord. Get our churches back in gear again. And thank you, Lord, for these who've made it an emphasis during this time of crisis. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. It's always wonderful to know the Lord always provides who we should follow. All my life, I've followed the right kind of men. It's just been wonderful. The Lord's led me that way, helped me that way. He's always given me the right pastors. I've never had a bad pastor. Amen. But I found out a long time ago, my dad would teach me this, you follow the one that's following Jesus, and you'll be okay. If you follow the one that's following Jesus, things are going to work out for you. But if you've got friends that don't care about the Lord, you better watch out. You better earmark that person. You better be very wary of how they're serving and not serving the Lord. And there are a lot of people that don't really think that it's important to serve the Lord. But I happen to believe it is the most important thing you can do after being saved is follow Jesus. Follow the Lord. If you want to keep your life out of trouble, I'm not saying you'll be trouble free, but I'm saying, my friend, it's a whole lot better to go to Jesus than it is to go to the world. A lot of people, we spoke about it at lunch today, a lot of people take their problems Friday night to the local bars and try to drink their problems away. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a void inside of every one of us that nothing can fill, no one can fill, but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can take away all the problems of this world and make you have peace at night. I love church because that's where I get my help. I love my Bible reading because that's where I get my help. I love my prayer life because that's where I get my help. And the Lord Jesus is the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be forever. A lot of people think, well, this life is here and then gone tomorrow. They think, well, we just live it, that's it. Not so. As I read my Bible, there are two eternities. One is gained by salvation, and the other is lost by staying lost. All of them are eternities. One is in hell and one is in heaven. I'm so glad, my friend, that we were afforded the opportunity to respond to the gospel message. My pastor, when I was small, he's in heaven today. His name was Pastor Gann, and he preached on hell. I was just a 7-year-old boy, but thank God for preachers who still preach on hell. And man, I couldn't shake it. He preached hell so hot that day that I was scared. I didn't walk the aisle that morning. I was just a little bit too scared to walk the aisle. But I went home, and Mom had always put us to bed on Sunday afternoon, all us kids, there are 5 of us. She wanted us to get a nap. Man, I wanted to go out and play, and I wanted to put bubble gum in my sister's pigtails and all that kind of stuff, you know. I wanted to have fun. I didn't want to go to sleep. But I couldn't rest that day. 7 years of age, but God, for the first time in my life, was exposing to me that I was a lost boy. I was lost. Lost in my sin. And I had to experience, if I should die anyhow, anyway, I would have to go to that devil's hell that preacher talked about that morning. I got to whimpering and couldn't sleep, and I was fidgety, and Mom passed by my bedroom. She saw me. She said, "What's wrong?" And I told her what the preacher said. I thought she'd take up for that poor young boy of hers. But you know what she did? She took up for the pastor. She took up for that preacher. I said, "Well, Mom, he said if I die in my sin, I'm going to hell." She said, "He's right. He said I'd die and go there forever." He said, "He's right." And so that day, with all my heart, I tried my best to avoid being lost. But you know, when God reels it in on you that you're lost, you can't shake it. You better listen to the Holy Spirit. Don't turn Him off. He didn't have to come visit you twice. He's not obligated, but He will come to everybody to make sure that you have a chance to be saved. And so, my friend, that night, I went to the service. It was the longest, boringest service I ever spent in my entire life. I said, "If that preacher just sit down and be quiet, I'll go get saved." Amen. I was under such conviction. My daddy always told me, he said, "Randy, son, if you ever want to be saved, just take my coattail." He always wore a suit to church. Always did. He was a boiler man, but he told us to fix up and clean up to go to church. And that's what he did, and that's what we did. And I took his coattail in the invitation, and I yanked his coattail. He knew what I wanted. He knew what I needed. He walked me down an aisle. I met an old-fashioned preacher down front of an old-fashioned altar. He took an old-fashioned Bible and led me to Christ the old-fashioned way. 7 years of age. You believe God could save a seven-year-old boy? I believe He can. And that day God saved me. It was Silver Dollar Sunday. I wanted to come bring a friend because he said, anybody that wants to come, if you bring a friend, you'll get a silver dollar and the friend you brought will get a silver dollar. I wanted that silver dollar. But I could care less about that silver dollar. I want to go home with heaven. Amen. I want to go home with Jesus in my heart. I'm so glad, my friend, the Lord's still in the saving business. And now that we're saved, we need to follow Him. This story is an unbelievable historical story. Jesus just before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that He only had just a few hours before He would depart from this world and go see the Father. And go to the Father. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, which was the Passover lamb. And He wanted to have that Passover lamb to be sacrificed. So Jesus went to Peter and John and told them, go ye and prepare the sacrifice. Prepare that Passover for us that we may eat it. They asked the question, where are we going to do this? Where you want us to have this sacrifice? Where you want us to have the Passover? Jesus answered, you go to the city. Go into the city and you'll find a certain man, not just any man, but a certain man. He didn't give his name. He didn't give his address. He said, just go to the town and you'll find a certain man carrying a jar of water. You meet that man, and when you meet him, you follow him. Follow him. You go to his master's house, and there he'll take you to an upper room. I don't know how Jesus worked all this out, but he had it all prepared. The Bible didn't make it clear. But, you know, Jesus knows everything. He can move and make anything happen. And so they met this man, and he said, you follow me. He took him to what we know as the upper room. The upper room where they prepared for the Passover. Now don't miss this. Jesus met his disciples there. And when he met him there, he washed their feet. He said one would betray him. All of these things took place because they followed that man. Listen to this. He instituted the Lord's Supper there. He foretells Peter's denial. Then he comforts his disciples and said, let not your heart be troubled. Then he promises the Holy Spirit. Then after that he goes to Gethsemane. He's betrayed and arrested. And then Peter denies him. Then Judas hangs himself after the trials of Jesus. Then there was Calvary. Then the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question tonight. What if the disciples had not followed Jesus? What if the disciples had not followed that man where Jesus told them to go? Where would we be tonight? All of those things happened because those disciples obeyed the Lord. We never know what's going to come out of a Sunday morning. We never know what's going to come out of a salvation story. I never get tired of hearing testimonies of getting saved. I never get tired of hearing people tell about how they've chosen the Lord for their life. But they followed that man. They followed that man. Where would Christianity be today if they hadn't followed that man? They were following the man who took them, listen to this, from the Passover to the resurrection. That's who they were following. The Lord wanted to get them to the right place so they could learn the right things at the right time. We never know what's going to come from a message in our heart. We never know what's going to come from a prayer meeting. But I know one thing. I know God still speaks. I know God still moves. Do you believe God can touch your heart and move on your heart, even in these days of crisis? Do you believe God can still do wonderful miracles in our lives like He did in biblical days? I'm here to tell you, my friend, God is still alive and He still works. No matter what the situation we're in, All through the Bible, people had to follow the Lord. God told Israel to follow Abraham. God told Israel to follow Moses out of Egypt. God told Israel to go into Canaan land by following Joshua out of the wilderness. God told Israel to follow David and away from the Philistines. God told us as Christians to follow the example of Paul in the New Testament. God told Matthew to follow me. And the Bible said, he arose and followed him. God told his disciples to follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Hey, listen, from walking on the water all the way through the New Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, it was always about following God, following Jesus. There's something to this, and the Lord told his disciples, follow him. Follow him. I know we're not supposed to follow man, but we're supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord. But isn't it good to have a pastor? Isn't it good that God gave us somebody we can follow? This is your midweek service, and we have a pastor of your church and a pastor of another church here tonight. I'm going to tell you the greatest man you can follow in your life, apart from Jesus, is your pastor. Amen. As long as he's following the Lord, my friend, you follow him. You follow him. The Lord was teaching his disciples that following meant everything for the rest of their life. They followed a man with a pitcher of water. The Lord used that water. Are you listening to me? He used that water for cleansing. He washed their feet with it. The Lord used it to prepare, used that experience to prepare them for the future. We've got a great future ahead of us, like the song was sang about a while ago. I'm looking forward to our future. Amen. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has prepared for us. Let me give you just some quick points tonight. I want to touch on my last point more than the others. The first point is, Jesus knew who he was. When I say he, I'm talking about that man that they were to follow. Jesus knew who he was. The disciples didn't know. They were just trying to find somebody with a pitcher of water. They didn't know who he was. A lot of times I ask people, how many never heard me preach? And they raise their hand and say, and you don't want to tonight. Amen. A lot of people just have never heard me preach, and so they just listen to me blindly and by the pastor's request. But it's weird how the Lord's worked all this out. It's weird how the Lord has chosen those who follow him to be the ones to lead, to be the ones to help a generation. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Listen to this. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Just like he knew that man with the pitcher of water, he knows us. He knows us. The Bible said, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God said, if you know me, follow me, and when you follow me, depart from iniquity. That's God's way. That's God's perfect plan. Number two, I want you to understand about this story that Jesus knew who he was, and number two, Jesus knew where he was. All through the Bible, the Lord knew where people were. There's stories all through the Bible we could preach about on how the Lord knew where somebody was. Like this one. He knew where Adam was. He was behind a tree in sin. Amen. He knew where Zacchaeus was. He was up a tree at his wit's end. He knew where Nathanael was. He was under a tree desiring to see Jesus. The Lord knows where we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. He knows our experiences. He knows the things that we need to do for him. He knows it. We just have to follow him. We have to follow him. Then number three, I want you to understand that Jesus knew what he was doing. This man with the pitcher had a mission. He had a command to take care of. He knew when he saw these disciples that he was going to take them to the upper room. He knew that he was going to obey and lead what the Lord told him to do. All we know is that somebody was bearing a pitcher of water. That's all we know. We don't know anything else about him. And the Bible doesn't make it clear, although in the other Gospels you'll see the story, and it's the same story without a name. A man with a pitcher of water. I wonder if we'd have been the disciples if we'd be so anxious to follow somebody like that. Simple, isn't it? That the Lord said, that's all I want you to do. You follow that man, he'll take you to the upper room, you get the Passover ready, and we're going to have that Passover meal. We're going to eat it together. I want to give you my last point. You still with me? Say amen. And that is this. He not only knew who he was, where he was, what he was doing, but the Lord knew where he was going. The Lord knew where he was going. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. And you ought to know if you're going to heaven or hell. You ought to know, my friend, that heaven is the right place to go to. And once we're saved, we ought to follow Jesus, not only just to heaven, but every day of our life. It's easy to follow the world. Do you know that? It doesn't take any effort to follow the world. But it takes a hard effort to follow Jesus. I mean, you just take that Bible out in public and you'll be ridiculed for it. You have a testimony for Christ and folk will laugh and scoff at you. But we ought to bear his name. We ought to follow him gladly. I told you a while ago, I follow those that follow Jesus. Let me give you some people that you ought to follow. Number one, you ought to follow men of old time religion. Amen. Stay away from this newfangled stuff. It'll destroy you. Stay away from people that'll cause you to doubt the Bible and doubt Christianity and doubt the will of God. Look, keep it as pure as you can keep it. I'm talking about serving Christ. Keep it as right as you can be. There are those that know the old-time religion. When I say old-time religion, I'm talking about those who know how to explain salvation. Somebody that can tell people, even yesterday, just how Jesus wants you to know how to be saved. People are confused today. They think they can get to heaven by all kinds of ways. That's why we have dozens of religions. America's full of false religions. But the best religion to be a part of is the gospel religion. Amen. The old-time religion. Don't ever get tired of telling somebody about Jesus. Don't ever get tired of finding a way of getting the gospel out. I notice you got a track rack out there in the hallway. Wouldn't it be good if businesses in your city had track racks? It's one thing to have it in your church hall. But maybe God would lead somebody here to get the burden to make track racks or to buy them and place them. Go to the business owners. Ask them if you could put tracks somewhere near the checkout counter, somewhere near the announcement boards or whatever, and begin to do that. I said that years ago in Mansfield, Ohio. The organ player walked the aisle. She left the organ during the invitation, and she came down and she surrendered to make track racks. She knew how to do crafts, and so she would sit around all week long. She was an elderly woman, and she'd sit around all week long, and she'd make them out of plastic and out of wood and real nice, attractive things. Some were just single, whatever she could get permission to put up. She'd go to truck stops and grocery stores and laundromats. She'd get permission to put up the gospel. And the pastors of that church said they had more visitors come because she put up track racks than any other program in the church. I'm just here to tell you, my friend, a track rack's got the gospel message. It's got the church name, got the church phone number, possibly the pastor's name, somebody they could call at any time that they need help and counsel. We just need to be soul conscious. We need to be thinking about how to get the gospel out. Don't ever forget the old time religion. Another thing you ought to follow, follow the man who can tell you how wonderful Jesus is. The old songwriter put it this way, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, no other ground, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. And then follow the one, follow that person that believes the Word of God. Believes the Word of God. You ought never do anything that you couldn't take that Bible with you. You ought never go anywhere you couldn't take the Bible with you. You shouldn't go anywhere you couldn't take the man of God with you. Amen. If you're too ashamed to be in a place where you couldn't have the Bible, too ashamed to be in a place where you couldn't have your preacher or the Holy Spirit or Jesus, amen, you ought to have a good testimony for the Lord. You see, my friend, wherever we can have that opportunity, we ought to have God's Word. What was it that Paul said on that ship that was going down? Sirs, I believe God. He believed the Word of God. And we ought to believe it, and we ought to live it. The Word of God. May I say also, my friend, we ought to follow the one who follows the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very important. Because the Bible has a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us not to lie to the Holy Spirit. You remember the ones who did, Ananias and Sapphira, and God killed them on the spot. They lied to the Lord, and God killed them. Be careful how you honor Christ. Be careful how you honor the Holy Spirit in your life. And then the Bible said not to grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? The Bible said through filthy words, through evil speaking. Well, this world is a trashy world, isn't it? They don't care how they curse His name. If you're saved, God said that grieves the Holy Spirit. Your attitudes of the heart, like bitterness, like anger, places you go, wrong or right, it matters. You can grieve the Holy Spirit by the places you go. Attitude toward the church. You got a bitter spirit toward the church, it grieves the Holy Spirit when you do that. You'll find these scriptures in the Bible. You just need to learn how to obey the Holy Spirit. And then, my friend, following the Holy Spirit means you never blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible said that that is a sin that's unpardonable, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And He says not to resist the Holy Spirit away. He said when you do that, if you read in the Bible where men were guilty of doing that, the Bible said God gave them up to their own affections. God gave them up. I don't want the Holy Spirit to give up on me. Amen. I want Him to keep working on me. I want Him to rely on me. I want Him to trust me. I want Him to give me a chance to obey what He wants me to do. And then I want to say, my friend, we ought to follow those who tell me about my eternal home of heaven. Isn't it wonderful to hear about heaven? When she was talking about going there, waiting to see the Lord. I tell you, my heart just perked right up, didn't yours? Because you can never bore me with heaven. Amen. You can never disinterest me about talking to heaven. When somebody talks about heaven, I mean, that's it. It supersedes all the other discussions in the room. Heaven is the greatest anticipation that you and I have. I've got loved ones there. So do you. And if they've been saved, we're going to have a rare reunion someday. It's going to be a great getting up morning someday. Amen. We're going to have a new home. A brand new home. One that won't fade away. One that won't rot away. Amen. Thank God for that. My ship is sailing. My ship is sailing for home. And I have an invitation to be on board that ship. I've taken that invitation. Jesus is my captain. He says, come aboard. And that ship has never lost one passenger. And I'm telling you what, my friend, she's sailing for home. Sailing for home. How strange it was for those disciples to hear the Lord say, prepare the Passover. Okay, yes, sir. But I want you not to do it here. I want you to go to a certain place. Where? Where do you want us to go prepare it? Well, you go find a man with a pitcher of water. Follow him. And he'll take you to a place that'll be prepared for us. And in that place, he reveals so many things that involve us today. What if they hadn't followed him? All through the Bible, it took people who were willing to follow Christ. Those disciples had to be willing to follow Jesus as he went to Calvary. We have to be willing to follow Jesus as he's gone away. He's coming again. In like manner, don't lose hope. Just keep trusting the Lord. Don't give up. just keep trusting the Lord. You have somebody that's having a hard time, just keep telling about the Lord. Just keep telling your grandkids, hey, it'll be all right. You just keep serving the Lord. God will help you. He'll use you. You just keep serving the Lord. You young married couples, God will help you. You just put Him first. I'm not saying all your troubles will be over. I'm just saying just keep following the one that's following Jesus. All my life, God's put wonderful people in my life. People that I could trust. People that handled that Bible right. People that were part of the great commandments of the Bible and made sure they were first in their life. I think of Joe Boyd. He's in heaven now. I feel sorry for Jesus. He's got him now. Amen. He was a soul winner. I mean, he was an avid soul winner. I tell everybody he was a senile on soul winning. He had several strokes, many strokes before he passed away. But it didn't stop him from witnessing to folks. He'd go to restaurants. They'd ask him, the people that would take him out, they'd say, where do you want to go? And he'd always want to go get a Mexican meal. And they'd take him there, but he wouldn't order anything until he grabbed the waitress by her arm and he'd say, this man tell you about Jesus. And he held her until that man told her about Jesus. Amen. He had more people say without speech than most of us do with good speech. Amen. He learned Spanish the last 10 years of his life. And he went to all kinds of Latin American countries. And he said, I want more people saved in my last 10 years of my life than I did the first part of my life. I don't know how many were saved, but there were thousands of people saved. He followed Christ. He didn't let his disabilities keep him down. He didn't let things that, like health problems, keep him down. I don't know about you, but I love my Lord, and I want to serve Him. I want the Lord to get the best from me. I want Him to have His best in my life. I want my children to know that Daddy loved God and served the Lord. I want my family members to know that Daddy and my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad, they always knew that I served the Lord. I mean, this is when I got right with God. When I walked out, my preacher looked at me and he said, Randy, I don't believe you. I was one of those church members that would go to camp and 2 or 3 weeks later I'd be right back in my old rut again. But when I got right that day, at 17 years of age, I hit the ground running. And I said, I want to prove to my preacher that I can live this life for Christ. I want to prove to my parents that I can live this life for Christ. I want to prove to myself and the Lord that I can live this life for Christ. Hey, it's going to get tough. Something's going to come up that's going to be very hard for you. Don't quit. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep following. Find somebody that's following Jesus and follow that person. Jesus told His disciples, follow that man. Follow that man! Shall we stand, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question tonight on a Wednesday night on a midweek service. This is the choir that I'm preaching to. This is a choice. I wonder, those of us that are here know someone that helped us be where we are right now. Someone that stuck a Bible in your hand or came by to visit you until you came to church, or somebody that taught you the Word of God. Somebody that helped you along the way when you got in your low places of life and helped you not to quit on Christ. How many of you have somebody come to mind like that? Can I just see your hands tonight? Amen. Maybe you can't remember their name, but you know they had that picture in their hand. And you knew they were following Jesus. And you say, I'd like to be what they are. I want to do what they're doing. I wonder how many tonight would say, Brother Taylor, I need to be that example. I want folks to see my life, that others would follow my example as I follow Christ. And so here's the question. How many would say tonight, Brother Taylor, pray for me. I want to follow Jesus so that folks could follow me. while I follow him. My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. That's the Wednesday night message. Following the Savior. Following the Savior. If you put the three things in the first three nights into practice, as the Lord speaks to your heart, as the Holy Spirit directs you and guides you, and as you follow Him, you make sure you're helping others follow Christ too. Father, I pray you bless tonight. Use the simple words, the simple thoughts of the message. Thank you for church. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. May we never get tired of serving Christ. May we find new ways, new methods, new exciting days. May we have a new prayer life and a new Bible love for Christ. May we find ourselves more faithful in church than we've ever been. Lord, help us. Give us that chance to be and that opportunity to serve you best in our life. If no one else will serve you that we know and family and friends, help us to be faithful regardless. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you raised your hands. Pastor's going to come and leave this invitation. Don't let the devil talk you out of a blessing. You tell him how you're going to follow him tonight and ask him if he'll help you. Thank you.